Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. For the past several weeks, we've been bringing you a series called Faith on the Coast. We've introduced you to a number of different faith groups all over the shore and explored the ideals and beliefs of many different denominations. We've been focusing not just on the rich history of these houses of worship, but also the significant role they have had on our coastal communities for hundreds of years. But one of the questions that churches across the country are struggling with is, where does God or even the church stand on the changing world in which we live? This question led me to Faith Lutheran Evangelical Church in Salisbury, Maryland. Faith Lutheran is what's known as an ELCA congregation, or Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. ELCA churches are a little different from traditional Lutheran churches, mainly because of their more relaxed position on social issues like same-sex marriage or divorce. If you click on the church's website, the homepage invites you to come to worship regardless of whether you are gay, straight, transgender, old, young, a crying baby, a surly adolescent, an upstanding member of society, or a formerly hardened criminal. But being a guy who grew up as a Lutheran, I found something incredibly familiar about a Sunday morning sitting in the wooden pews at Faith Lutheran, from the Bible readings and the music to the sermons and the smiling people from all walks of life. Reverend Teresa Langdon is the pastor here at Faith Lutheran. She's what's known as a second career pastor, and that means exactly what it sounds like. She started seminary at age 52 after years of struggling with her own Catholic faith because she felt like she couldn't find a church to call home because of her own sexuality.
I was a fallen away Catholic for about 25 years. Then a couple of things happened. I worked in mental health at the time. I went to a conference out at Mount St. Mary's College. My colleagues and I got bored with the conference, wandered away, and found a Catholic shrine. And we're just kind of awed by the settings. It was very quiet, it was out in nature, and it was wonderful. And so I found myself going back and visiting every couple weeks, and I don't know why, I just felt compelled to be there. And at about the same time, give or take some months, I left the mental health field and got a job working with a Lutheran social ministry agency. And even though I was an unchurched person, but as the interviewer told me, he said, "This is a Christian organization. Is that going to be a problem for you?" And I said, "No, I grew up a Catholic, so I know what that's all about." So my job started out small, you know, not quote-unquote religious at all, really. I was managing a small home care program. But then it grew, as jobs often do. And I started to have spend time working with congregations to help them do their community programs. And little by little, I started noticing what they were doing and how committed these people were to their work. And they weren't being paid for, you know, for these things. They were mostly lay people, and yes, some clergy. But I got to see the energy and the strength and the commitment there, and that really impressed me. The interesting thing is, as I was working with folks, often, of course, someone would ask me, "So what church do you belong to?" And I learned to say, "I am still seeking." And little did I know that I really was seeking, that in fact I was on a journey. You know, God was sneaking up behind me, is what happened, and then hit me with a 2x4. Because as I became more and more involved in church, I was invited to one of the churches I was working with in Baltimore, St. Mark's Lutheran, a very diverse congregation. And being a gay woman, that was important to me because I never thought I would step foot in a church. But they were just so nurturing and such faithful and faith-filled people that I started going to a weekday service and staying and having dinner with them. And so that started in my late 40s. And then the 2x4 was that I started attending seminary when I was 52. And I graduated at age 56, and now here I am, a pastor. Wow. So, you know, I'm still somewhat stunned, but I'm having the time of my life.
You know, it's amazing the twists and turns of the journey that, that we all take, whether spiritually or just on the road in everyday life. But You mentioned that you went to seminary at age 52, mm-hmm. but I want to go back for a minute.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Tell me what your relationship with God and your role in church as a young gay woman mm-hmm, growing up mm-hmm. in a time when that wasn't accepted, not in Catholicism,
right.
and even in Lutheranism.
Yeah. Well, when I originally left Catholicism, it wasn't really the sexual orientation issue. Mm-hmm. It was a whole bunch of things. I think I, like other young people, became disillusioned at the time about church and what I heard. And, you know, many people would point out the hypocrisy, you know, that people in church talking about loving other people and acting like Jesus, but then they get out in the world and they do just the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, there's hatred and division and hostility and judgment. I mean, it can be awful, especially for anybody who's different in any kind of way. So that's where I started from when I left the Catholic Church and I stayed away. I didn't lose a relationship with God. I still believed in God and I still prayed, especially when I was going through things. But I didn't feel like I belonged in the church. So I was just kind of outside. I stayed away from the Catholic Church because there were just too many bad vibes, so to speak.
Sure. Now, what did you find in the Lutheran faith? Because I think the one thing that we should note as well is the Lutheran Church that I grew up in, and actually some of the members of the congregation, mm-hmm. they mentioned that to me as well, mm-hmm. that they grew up in the Missouri Synod branch of the Lutheran faith.
Right.
This is known, Faith Lutheran here in Salisbury, is under the branch of ELCA, or Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America.
Right.
Explain the difference between Missouri Synod and ELCA.
Yeah. I mean, the Lutheran Church has been through a lot of different breaks, schisms, and mergers, and so on. And there is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which today is identified as a more conservative mm-hmm. branch, but it's been around a long time. The ELCA, or Evangelical Lutheran Church, actually began in the late 1980s as a merger between three predecessor Lutheran churches. And that happened before my time as a Lutheran, so I don't know or remember all the details of the history, but just that people came together and formed this new church.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, not too long ago, we celebrated the 25th anniversary of the ELCA. And so it's gone through a lot of things. We have a very strong Lutheran theology, and of course, anyone who is Lutheran or familiar with the Lutheran tradition knows that there is a difference between Lutherans and, let's say, Catholics. And when I first started working for the Lutheran Social Ministry Agency, I had a chance to meet with a local Lutheran bishop. My boss sent me there to get some direction from him as to what kind of community programming we should do. But while I was there, I thought, I'm going to ask him a question. And I said to him, Bishop, what's the difference between Catholicism and Lutheranism? And he told me, justification by faith. And I said, okay. And I didn't want to appear ignorant or stupid, so I didn't ask anything else. I just said, okay, and I filed that away. And later that evening, I went to the local library and found all the books I could on Protestantism. And so I looked up this justification thing. I had heard it in Catholic school, but I heard it from the Catholic viewpoint.
Sure.
So I remember sitting in my living room, poring over these books, and when I read about this, it's actually the correct terminology is justification by grace through faith. And what that means is we are all justified, we are all saved by God's grace, not by anything we do or don't do. And it's through God's grace, and it's through our faith in God and in Jesus doing that for us. And the lights went off, bells went off, and I thought, yes, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, I felt it in my heart, this is it. And all of that other stuff that I had experienced with church kind of peeled away or shed away, and I thought, this is the core of church, and it spoke to me so loudly that that's probably what led me further into the church, to joining a Lutheran church, becoming president of the council at that Lutheran church, and eventually going to seminary, because I felt so full of it. I mean, I know that sounds funny, but so full of the joy and grace from that one concept that I thought, why doesn't everybody else know this? Why aren't people spreading this word and letting everybody know? Mm-hmm. You know, and that there's a place for other people in church, other people like myself, other people who feel marginalized mm-hmm. and not part of the group, that we are welcomed. And so that's what we're doing here. You know, it's a small congregation on the Eastern Shore in a place, you know, geographically we're noted as being, shall we say, somewhat conservative. And yet people here have come together, people who are, number one, they called me as their pastor, knowing I'm a gay woman. They welcome people, they love people, they're very nurturing, and now we've become a Reconciling in Christ congregation, which is a designation through a group called Reconciling Works that's associated with the ELCA. And what they work on really helping congregations to become inclusive so that we can include all kinds of people, varying sexual orientations.
You see it right on your website when you go on the website. It says, we welcome same-sex couples, transgender, mm-hmm. bisexual, mm-hmm. single families, right, divorcees, right. et cetera, et cetera. Right. And, you know, you were talking a little bit ago about the differences between Catholicism and the Lutheran mm-hmm. faith, and that's mm-hmm. something that I sort of grew up, you know, uh-huh. sort of comparing the two.
Right.
But just in the Lutheran faith, now there's difference of opinions, sure. yep. and very drastic ones.
Right.
As you mentioned, the Missouri Synod, which is very conservative, and this very forward-thinking mm-hmm. ELCA, mm-hmm. or the Reconciling in mm-hmm. Christ. Mm-hmm. As I looked around the room this morning, it not only was everybody so incredibly welcoming and accepting, and people, I saw a lot of same-sex couples, I saw a lot of younger families, mm-hmm. I saw a lot of older folks. As the world sort of changes around us, are you finding that people end up coming through these doors because they get the dogma, they get the story, they get mm-hmm. the ritual of church, mm-hmm. but they're not finding the tolerance or the acceptance of people that they're getting, you know, in their daily lives?
Right, right.
Do you think that's why people are seeking out something different in their faith?
I think so. And that's the challenge for church in general. There's so much, I call it bad press out there about churches.
Mm-hmm.
The churches, all denominations are not welcoming to people. That there's a certain rigidity and hypocrisy about religion. And that's not true. I mean, there are all stripes of churches, you know, all different levels of tolerance and welcoming and understanding. My hope, our hope here, is that people who have any curiosity will go out and try it, you know, do some visiting. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with church shopping.
Sure. Seeking, you know? as exactly. you said earlier.
Talking with your neighbors if you have any curiosity at all. I mean, our hope is that if people know that we're reconciling in Christ, they will know that we're welcoming, that we're not only tolerant, but that we're welcoming. We want to be inclusive. We want other people to hear the good news and join with us in sharing it with others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our focus right now. But we know this much. People won't come just because we're here. Initially, some of our folks would say to me, well, they'll know that we're welcoming when they come, when they get here. And my challenge to them was, well, how will they know in the first place that it's safe to come here?
Right. That was interesting because during the service, which I had never really experienced before, the service sort of stopped and you broke off into five small groups.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we went into a little coffee room and we mm-hmm. were talking, and that was one of the things that was being talked about within that small group mm-hmm. was oftentimes faith stops at the church doors.
Yes.
You know, because we live in a world where sort of the taboo subjects to talk about as you're out in the world is religion and politics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what is the role of people who are, you know, one with God and mm-hmm, do have a strong sense of faith to go out in a evolving and what's really becoming a more secular world and living by example or spreading mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that faith that they have? Has that changed over the years?
Yeah. Well, I think we're coming back to that, actually, to tell you the truth. And you know, sometimes in our religious circles, we compare how first century Christianity parallels 21st century, or vice versa, however you want to say it. Because back in the first century, the challenge then was to spread the word. Mm-hmm. You know, things were just beginning. Most people weren't familiar with quote-unquote Christianity, and it wasn't even called that then. It was the Jesus movement or the way or something like that. And today, with as you've described, the world has become so secular or away from anything resembling or called church, we sort of have the same job, the same task, to reacquaint people, but to reacquaint them with the core of what the gospel is about. It's not about dogma, it's not about church buildings, it's not about rigid rules, but it's about Jesus and what Jesus talked about and what his disciples started to spread and plant back in that first century, which has to do with love and inviting everybody and, you know, coexisting. That's the mission, but it's God's mission. And we're simply invited by God to work within that mission, because there are so many broken people out in the world, disenfranchised people who feel that they don't belong in church, you know, that there's nothing there for them, that in fact they're going to be harmed, they're going to be hurt, further ostracized. And we're trying to let them know, no, there's something here for you. And come and join us and then help us let even more people know. Mm-hmm. This is how we grow the church, not through any kind of tricks or fads. Or what grows the church is the gospel.
Do you think that people's personal journeys are changing, and has that changed the role of the church in a community?
Well, I think people's personal journeys are pretty much the same as they've been through history. But I think maybe there's a growing awareness that the dots are being connected in some places, that there's life over here, life with all its trials and tribulations and complications and problems. And over here is church. But church was something proper, and you had to have yourself all together and look good and sound good and act right before you could go to church. But now, I think what people are realizing, hopefully, is church is where you go to help bring yourself together, mm-hmm. you know, to help deal with life, that there's something in church to do that. One of those somethings is other people, because God works through other people. I do think relationships are becoming more and more important to people, maybe because the numbers of people who feel disenfranchised or alienated is growing. Yeah. It's not just the weirdos, you know, who are the outcasts, but more and more of us normal people, for whatever reason, you know, are just, whether it's economically or socially or religiously, politically, there's just a lot of that. I mean, some say it's a side effect of technology, yeah. you know, that we're more separated from each other, so people are seeking human personal relationships and contact.
We've been speaking with Pastor Terry Langdon. Terry, thank you so much.
Oh,
it was such a pleasure.
You. This has been a great conversation.
To learn more about Faith Lutheran, click to our website, wamucoast.org. Quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Rousseau.